We're gonna open up in prayer, and I just want to spend a few more moments just in the presence of God. And so, just whatever you feel right now. So we thank you, Jesus, for tonight, God. We cast out any fears or anxieties that would be in people's homes because of what's happening with what's happening in the world, Lord. That tonight we would get a revelation, Lord, that no matter what we see, Lord, you have a better report. You have an amazing report for us, God. And so help us, Lord, tonight to trust in you, to confide in you, Lord. We say we need you, Jesus, in our homes, in our workplaces, in our schools, in our lives, Lord. We need you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for a generation. And I'm not saying a generation as far as an age group, but I'm saying this generation, everyone that's alive right now, Lord, that we would have a heart and a spirit that cries out, Abba, Father. That we would not be Christians or churchgoers who are satisfied with encountering God only a couple of times a week, but that we would become a people who are hungry for the presence of God every single day. That we would be like Jesus, we would rise up in the morning, separate ourselves from the world and say, Lord, I'm going to spend time with you. I'm going to go out into the wilderness and listen to God, my Father. Here's what's interesting is that in the Hebrew, the wilderness literally means, I believe it means to speak. And so in the Old Testament, the wilderness was the place where God speaks. And it's amazing because the wilderness is a place where there's nothing else. I mean, nothing else. There might be some cactuses or, you know, some vultures, but it's not very interesting. The wilderness is not an interesting place. It's probably not even the most comfortable place to be in the land that is desolate, that is empty, that is barren, that is starving, that is dry. And yet that is a place in the Old Testament so frequently with Elijah, with Moses, with even with Jesus. We read it today, right? Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit to be tempted. Oh, man. I don't know who tonight feels like you're in a wilderness right now. And let me tell you something. For many of us, for some of us, for all of us, the wilderness is sometimes the best thing that can happen to us because it's the place where all distractions are removed and it's the place where God speaks because there's nothing else to look at. There's nothing else to focus ourselves on. Thank you. You're doing great. Are you good? Great. There's nothing else to focus on. And what a wonderful time for us to live in right now. Yes, this season might be the most unfortunate season for many of us, and it might be the most inconvenient season for us. But when we look at this season as this is the time where God can speak the loudest because all my distractions are removed. I'm no longer distracted by baseball. I'm no longer distracted by basketball. I'm no longer distracted by, you know, the restaurants, and I'm no longer distracted by the celebrities. I'm no longer distracted by whatever it is. And now we're in this wilderness where we can listen to God our Father. Amen. Amen. Am I the only one here? Is it just me and this? Is it just me and this guy? Sorry, I think I was opening up in prayer. So Lord, we thank you for this, the next few moments that we have together, that you would be glorified. That you would be glorified, Jesus, that we have a chance to encounter our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who loved us first tonight, the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. I'm reminded, so when I first started coming to this church, I was going to Sozo for a while, and I joined Academy Level 1. Like, I think it was like 2 months or like a month after I started coming to this church. And back then, we not only had prayers on prayer at Sunday morning, but we also had prayer on Wednesdays. Like at 6 o'clock, we would have prayer. And one of the requirements of Academy of Righteousness was you had to go to corporate prayer. And I didn't like getting up on Sunday morning, so I went to the Wednesday corporate prayer. And so it was like my first week. I get to Wednesday corporate prayer, and we're sitting there. And I think Miss Mickey would pray every Wednesday. She was so faithful. It was so awesome. So I'm there at 6 o'clock, and we're praying for like 45 minutes, and I'm just sitting there. And it gets to 6:45, which is the time that, you know, around the time that Sozo Youth would start and people would start coming in and their service would start. And so it's so funny. Like, I was sitting there and I was about to get up, and then it literally felt like a weight was on me where it's just like, no, stay. It's like, Keep in mind, I'm like a few months into this, like into like Christianity, like falling in love with Jesus. You good? Great. Falling in love with Jesus, it's great. I'm sitting in prayer and I just feel this impression of stay, like don't move. And I'm like, well, I guess I'm going to stay for the adult service tonight. I guess I'm going to listen to Pastor Drew, you know, instead of going to like Sozo where all the cool people are. Not that, you know, the adults weren't cool, but you know, I'm like 18 years old. I'm not what I am now. But so I think for a moment I was like kind of disappointed. I was like, oh man, like all my friends are over there, you know, they had the lights and the music and all that stuff. I was like, all right, well, whatever. You know, I don't feel comfortable going to Sozo tonight. I need to stay here. And I'll never forget it. It's my first Wednesday there. There's probably like 20 people in there, maybe 25 people in there. I'm like the only young person in there because, you know, Sozo's happening. And I'm in there. And then Pastor Drew, there wasn't even a worship team over there. There wasn't. Pastor Drew was just literally like at 7 o'clock. At 7 o'clock, you see Pastor Drew open the door, walk out in shorts and like no shoes, and he'd be like, all right, let's get your Bibles out, put them over your head and say, like, that was, and then Pastor Drew would talk for an hour and 15 minutes. There was, like, that was, it was. So my first Wednesday night there, it's not funny, but it's so funny. I shouldn't want to say the word. It's so funny because I'm sitting there and Pastor Drew started a series that day on gratitude. And it's funny because it the message was really good, and it's not like I wasn't an ungrateful person. Although I was 18 years old, I might have been a very ungrateful person. But I just remember midway through the service, Pastor Drew's, he's just quoting scriptures and he's just preaching, and I just started crying. For like the next hour, I'm just crying over this message about gratitude that doesn't necessarily wholeheartedly apply to me, but I just felt the Holy Spirit in that room. I just felt like I cannot explain it. It was just like a steady stream of just wonderful Jesus tears the entire service. I don't know why, it was great. And then that night I went up to I found Pastor Paul, and I was like, Pastor Paul, he's like, hey, where were you? I was like, oh, is that the adult service? He's like, oh, cool. I was like, yeah, I don't think I'm going back to Sozo. He's like, what? He's like, yeah, I feel like God wants me to be over there for a while. And it was I don't remember anything Pastor Drew said in that series about gratitude, but I just remember feeling the Holy Spirit and loving being it. And, you know, obviously God had a purpose for me there. But see, that's what happens, because I was still fairly new to the church, so in those moments, it's so easy for me to be like, no, I'm more comfortable as an 18-year-old to be in Sozo Youth, or I'm more comfortable as an 18-year-old to be in this group where my friends are. But when you decide to say no to your flesh and say yes to your spirit, God rewards you wonderfully. Yeah. And here's the amazing thing is that God will always reward you with his presence. Because everything you need is in his presence. He lacks nothing. Is it healing? Is it peace? Is it joy? Whatever it is, you find it. Look, read your New Testament. It's found in Jesus Christ. It's not something Jesus just hands to you like, here's some peace. It's not. It's Jesus is peace. And so you just fill yourself with Jesus and you get that peace. That is who he is. Amen? So today we're talking about Fear Not, Part 4. No, I'm kidding. There's a kids ministry. There's a kids ministry script here. This is what we're filming tomorrow. It'll be a lot of fun. It'll be great. But if you're taking notes tonight, the title of tonight's message is Jesus is the Way. No way. Yes way. Jesus is the Way. Jesus is the Way. Amos chapter 3 verse 3 says this: can two walk together unless they are agreed? I remember like years ago I read this and I was like, that's so like, I remember thinking like, duh, like that's like saying like, isn't water wet? It's like, yes, thank you, Captain. But I saw this and I was thinking about, man, Jesus is the Way. And like, here's the thing, Jesus is the Way. He has the Way. It's to straighten our path. It is an amazing way to go. And it might not be the easiest way. It might not be the most comfortable, but it's always rewarding because it's him. It's all him. In order for us to live a life, in order for us to have everything that God has for us, we need to agree with Jesus. This might sound ridiculously simple, because like I said, when I first read this verse, I was like, well, duh, like how can me and someone else walk to the store unless we agree, hey, we're going to the store? But now let's look at it with Jesus. Jesus says, hey, I'm going to lead you to green pastures. You have to agree in yourself and in your heart that, yes, Jesus, me and you, we're going to go to the green pastures. We got to agree on that. That's what it means to walk with Jesus. If you're going to walk with Jesus, you have to agree with him. And so when you get to a fork in the road where, you know, you're on your way to green pastures, but you get to a fork in the road where on this side is green pastures with Jesus and on this side is unforgiveness, you got to choose. Am I going to continue to walk with Jesus, or am I now going to step out of his way, or like his way? Am I going to step out of his path and choose unforgiveness? I think some of us spend months, days, years on the wrong path because we chose unforgiveness rather than forgiveness and continue walking with Jesus. Jesus is the Way. Can someone say amen? Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. I want to say a few scriptures tonight, and I want you guys to not tune out because you've heard these scriptures so many times. I think it's so easy for us to hear scriptures that are cliche, and because in our mind they're cliche, or because we've heard them so much, that they lose their power because we don't revere it and honor it as the Word of God. Amen. Like a famous scripture that, you know, all of us have said, heard, and heard sermons on is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We've heard that so many times that even now I can say, and you're like, yeah, I've heard that. And it doesn't register. It doesn't go down into your soul because your mind is so caught up on, yeah, I've heard that scripture so many times. It's now become a cliche, and there's no power over it because it's like, because you equate that scripture with like saying, like, if I say I love Pastor Drew, but in the same manner I say I love pizza, it loses its meaning and power, right? I love Pastor Drew more than I love mushroom pepperoni pizza. There should be a difference there. And so sometimes when we hear scriptures like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, we take away the depth and the power of it because we've heard it so many times. Yeah, I've heard that one before. I've heard it my whole Christian life. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But see, when you're a struggling father or a struggling mother or you're a grandma who's been praying for her kids and praying for her grandkids, and you're maybe you're at a point in your marriage where you just want to give up, man, you need that scripture. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I don't want to forgive again. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. See, that is the reason we've heard that scripture so much. It's because it's a powerful scripture. And some of us, we forget to hold on to scriptures because we've been saturated with it. But it's still the word of God. It's still truth. And there's still power in the word of God. Anyway, so we're talking about Jesus is the way. Jesus really should be our only way. Do we have options? Yes. But we need to set our hearts on Jesus being the only way. Let me give you an example. John chapter 6, we'll read from verse 66 through 68. In this time, this is right after Jesus starts to talk about his body and his blood. And he's saying, like, he's saying, you know, you want entry in the kingdom of heaven. If you want eternal life, you have to feed on me. You have to drink my blood and eat my flesh. And people start freaking out, like, whoa, okay, wait. It's like, Jesus, I thought you were different. Those are other gods. The other gods, they're weird. They drink blood and do all these weird things. Like, Jesus, like, you kind of gone off right now. Like, it's too much, Jesus. And so we see here, so from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. My question for you, church, tonight is, when things don't make sense, are you going to believe what you don't know? Sorry, are you going to make decisions based on what you don't know, or are you going to make decisions based on what you do know? Here's what I mean. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. During this time, the disciples were like, man, this is hard to understand. This is a hard saying. This is hard to believe. This is hard to comprehend. This is hard to grasp. And so because now there's something in their life that they don't understand or they don't fully know now, they make a decision to not walk with Jesus because they don't know what this means. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Verse 67, then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? Verse 68, but Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Verse 69, also we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter had the option, just like everybody else, to continue walking with Jesus or not. But Peter had already made a decision in his heart. Because he said, to whom shall we go? In Peter's mind, there's no other option. In Peter's mind, there's no other way. Even though there really was. Peter could have gone back home. Peter could have gone back to fishing, which they actually end up doing later when Jesus dies. But in Peter's heart and mind, he made a decision. There is no other way. And so what happens is that when Peter and the disciples are faced with a situation, they can either choose to make a decision based on what they don't know or what they do know. And so even though this situation doesn't make sense, Peter says, this doesn't make sense to me, but I'm not going to make a decision based on what I don't know. I'm making a decision based on what I do know. I'm going to continue following Jesus because even though this doesn't make sense, I know and I believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Is this making sense? Let me come home a little bit. During COVID season, you lose your job or you get laid off. And you get rejected for unemployment, and you don't know what your finances are going to look like. You're worried and or you're afraid. Same thing probably. And you now make a decision based on what you don't know, because you don't know what's going to happen with your job. You don't know what's going to happen financially. And so you make a decision based on what you don't know instead of making a decision based on what you do know. Because here's what you know, and here's what you should believe, is that God is your provider, not your job. Joshua 1:8, meditate on his word day and night, and then you will be prosperous, and then you will have good success. So even though I'm now encountering a situation that I don't fully understand, I'm putting my faith on what I do know, and that is that God is my provider. This person said he's sick, or this person says he's going through a situation. Well, what is it that you do know? And here's the dangerous part. And we saw it today. Jesus goes to the wilderness. He gets tempted, and he's able to overcome the temptations by what he does know, which is the Word of God. So we'll never be able to overcome situations in our life that are unfamiliar or where we won't know the outcome unless we know the Word of God, unless we know who He is. And so for me to know that God is a provider, it doesn't matter what the unknown is, because I already know Him. Is this making sense? We need to make a decision to trust what we know and have that be the authority over what we don't know. I don't know what's going to happen in my marriage. Well, what do you know? I know that God makes all things work together for the good because I love Him. Amen? Amen? Amen. John chapter 8, verses 31 through 36. Then Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." You cannot walk with Jesus. You cannot walk in His blessings. You cannot walk in His provision. You can't walk with Jesus without knowing the Word of God. And look at this, verse 31. If you abide in my word. What I feel the Holy Spirit saying right now is, I feel God saying, my people are not living in my word enough. That's what He says. That's what He's saying right there. If you abide, it literally means to like live, like that's your home. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. One of the byproducts of being a disciple of God is reading your word every day. Verse 32. That word is and. It's a conjunction. It's connected. Everyone say connected. Connected. You okay? It's connected. Live in His word, and which is abide in my word, you are my disciples. And because you abide in my word, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Could it be that I believe one of the reasons why we can be in bondage to not only sins, well, let me give you an example. When we don't know the truth of how much God values us, then we succumb to the lie that I need to get my value from other people or my value from other things. People who live to gain value from others, whether it's through appreciation, whether it's sexually, whether it's financially, as you trust other people for that value, you are a slave to those.
Yeah, say that.
You are in bondage to those things that don't satisfy and that make you keep coming back for more and more and more, because here's the thing, sin is never satisfied. Sin is pleasure without the satisfaction. because that sexual immorality or that praise or whatever they give you will be pleasurable in that season, but there's no satisfaction, so it leaves you empty. It's like the Diet Coke. Diet Coke, you drink Diet Coke, it tastes good. Well, it doesn't taste good, but people drink Diet Coke, and it tastes sweet. It tastes like sugar, but it's not sugar. There's no substance to it. And scientifically, what happens is that when people drink Diet Coke, it actually increases their appetite for more sugar, because Diet Coke doesn't satisfy their sugar craving because it's not real sugar. That's sin. Sin is pleasure without the satisfaction. And the Word of God sets you free from that. Amen? The Word of God sets you free from any insecurities that cause you to go back to that ex-boyfriend and ex-girlfriend. The Word of God sets you free from withholding the tithe because you're not sure how things are going financially. The Word of God sets you free from constantly worrying about relationships or constantly having anxiety about your life because you know God's going to take care of you. Amen? Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. Everyone say, Jesus is the way. Verse 9, how can a young man cleanse his way? I read this and I just thought it was funny because I'm assuming, you know, during this time there was a lot more, I wasn't say debauchery, but probably. I just think it's funny because it's, I don't know. I just thought it was funny. Like, David writing this is like, man, like, how can a man stay pure? I just thought it was funny because it's like, it just sounds like it's something that's confounding the wise, you know? Like, how can you get a woman to not gossip? That's just a joke. Something to confound, or how can you get a man to, you know, to be pure? But the second part of this is so amazing. You guys probably already read it. By taking heed according to your word. Man, if you feel like if you feel dirty tonight, if you feel like you've been walking in an impure way, if you feel like you're in bondage to sin, listen, the Son will set you free. Jesus will set you free. All you gotta do is take heed according to his word. Guys, reading your Bible is not just reading the book. But read your Bible to encounter Jesus. It's so much better. It's so much better to right before you read the Bible, say, Lord Jesus, I thank you that I'm going to read your word, which is according to John chapter 1. It's you. You are your word. I'm going to encounter Jesus while I read the scripture right now. Trust me, it's better. There is a difference between me reading my Bible because I'm going to preach and me reading the Bible because I want his presence. You don't want to hear a sermon because I read the Bible. You want to hear a sermon that came from me encountering Jesus in the Bible. It's totally different. There's a ton of people out there way smarter than me that know way more about the Bible than I do, but they have no relationship. We worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Amen. Anyway, Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. This is just so good. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Here's the amazing thing about God. Here's what the Bible says, that in God there's no shadow of turning. Like, his character will never deviate. God is not a man that he should lie. God is not a liar. So when God says he's going to take care of you, he means it, and that's the truth. When God says to cast your cares upon him, he means it. He wants your cares. He wants your words. He wants your issues. He wants your problems because he wants to show himself amazing and powerful and glorious in any tribulation or persecution that you go through. God loves showing off who he is. He really does. All we have to do is give him the opportunity. Give him the opportunity. Take that opportunity to say, I'm going to believe what God says rather than what I see. That is faith. There's been countless times, guys, countless times, because I'm still working this out myself. There's been countless times where I feel the Holy Spirit saying, pray for this person for healing. And it's the same battle every single time. And it's going to be, even if I go through the same battle, that's okay, because I'm going to choose Jesus every single time. Right before I go up to pray for someone, the enemy always comes and he tempts me to say, what if nothing happens? How are you going to look? How are they going to feel? This is going to be awkward. This is going to be embarrassing. What's going to happen? And in that moment, I need to say, I don't care about the unknown. Because here's what I know. God is a healer. And here's what I know. I'm going to choose obedience over uncertainty every single time. And the smiles that I've seen, the tears that I've seen, the hugs I've gotten because God comes through in that moment is what keeps me to say yes to Jesus every single day. This is what it means to walk with Jesus. To walk in his ways, to say, I'm going to walk with Jesus and I will not deviate. Just like Peter said, there's nowhere else to go. I have no other option. Could he go somewhere else? Yes, but in his heart, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. I think that's a song, right? So David says it right here. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. How does a man stay clean in his ways? You hide God's word in your heart. So that when the tribulation comes, when the pressure comes, what comes out of your heart? His word. Not fear, not doubt, not anxiety, not uncertainty, but a soundness of mind. Because God is not a God of confusion, but he is a God of peace. Amen. We'll keep reading. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips, I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I have a message for our church tonight. If you spend as much time reading your Bible, as much time as you spend worrying and doubting, or like this verse, if you spend as much time seeking the riches of the Lord rather than the riches of the world, you'd be so much richer in your soul and your spirit. You really would be. I really believe if we invested as much time as we do in things of the world, in reading the Bible, our lives would be completely different. We would be walking and talking way, way, way differently. We would probably look more like the Church of Acts than just churchgoers who just come to church and that's it. That is not the Christian life, and that's not the way of Jesus. Amen? I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Ezekiel, the prophet in the Old Testament, said this, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. Talking about the Holy Spirit. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you. I'm going to say cause you. Cause you. And cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my commandments and do them. Amen. Here's another cliche verse that I want you to like wipe your mind right now and just pretend like you're going to listen to the scripture for the first time in your life. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We've heard this so much that we can't even hear it anymore. And I really feel like that grieves the Holy Spirit. I really feel like that grieves the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's what the Holy Spirit is, you know, what gives life to these verses. And so I want to talk right now to anybody who is anxious or who is uncertain about your future, the next coming days, the next coming weeks, the next coming months. If you are worried or concerned or unsure, hold on to this verse right now. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. If you don't know what to do right now, just start reading your Bible every single day. And let the Lord be your guide. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. I'm not reading a fairy tale, guys. I'm not reading good advice. I'm reading to you the truth. His word is a lamp to your feet, and he is a light to your path. And if you don't know what to do right now, go to his word. Because God is not a liar. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Wow. Someone say wow. Wow. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Lord, we just thank you right now for your word. We thank you, Jesus, that we have you. We have your word. And help us and lead us and encourage us tonight, Jesus, to have a desire and a hunger to know you more through the word of God. Not because we want head knowledge, not because we want to make a good argument, but that through your word we may understand you better, understand ourselves better, and walk worthy of you, God. Living in his word will cause you to not sin. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Here's another cliche. Well, I don't know if it's cliche, actually. But I've heard this a lot, too. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We can also say it this way. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. So it's great to hear sermons, and it's great to hear, you know, preachers and pastors. But we discern the voice of God by reading the word of God. I'm going to say that again. We discern the word of God by reading the word of God. How else do you know your pastors are preaching biblical truth if you don't know that biblical truth for yourself, right? And Paul warns us against that over and over again in the New Testament about false teachers and false prophets who will bring doctrines of demons. How do you know if it's a doctrine of demon if you haven't read the doctrine of Jesus, right? Consistently being in the Word of God and reading the Word of God will become your filter for anything that comes into your life. Live your life. See the world through the word of God, and you'll never have a bad day. You will never have a bad day. How else were the disciples able to glory in their tribulations? Literally, they got beat up and stoned. They got hurt real bad, and they counted it joy. How else do you do that unless you do that through having the perspective? Listen, that's what it means to walk in Jesus, where even when you get hurt, you're like, wow, this is amazing. I am worthy to be beat up for Jesus. It's a whole different way of living. That's what it means to walk with Jesus. Amen. I think one more scripture and then we'll pray for people. Ephesians 2 verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Jesus is the way. And he needs to be our way. In every step that we take, in every decision that we make, it needs to come in agreement with what he has for us. Amen? There's no room for deviation. Let's be like David, where we hide the word of God in our heart. Let us be like Peter, where we make a decision in our heart to say, I have nowhere else to go. There's nowhere else I can go. I'm making a decision in my heart that I'm going to follow Jesus no matter what, based on what I know of him, not through the uncertainty that the world brings. This is what it means to build a strong foundation, amen? When the storm comes and the wind hits, I am not shaken because my foundation is on him. Amen? Amen. We praise you, Jesus. We thank you that you would continue to lead us and guide us in your ways. And right now, Lord, I pray for all those in homes, in your bedrooms, in wherever you are. If you're hurting right now, whether physically or mentally or emotionally, I want you to put your hands right now, wherever their pain is. I'm going to pray for you. Because here's the truth. Here's the truth. As we walk with Jesus, we get all of his benefits. Healing, peace, joy, love. All those things come with walking with Jesus because it's his presence, right? We literally saw right here to walk in Christ. So for anybody hurting, Lord, right now where you are, put your hands over where it's hurting. In the name of Jesus, we declare healing in bodies right now in the name of Jesus. We declare peace into people's minds. We declare soundness in people's soul and emotions, God. We ask that your Holy Spirit invade their rooms right now. It is your Spirit that gives life, and so we command bodies to be healed and whole right now. We say that by your stripes, they've already been healed. You've already paid for that price, or you've already paid that price for healing, God. And so because of your body being broken, I declare you healed right now in the name of Jesus. I see shoulders being healed right now in the name of Jesus. I see migraines on the left side, or headaches, or tensions, I don't know what it is, but something, your head's hurting on the left side. I declare that healed right now in the name of Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We give you glory. I declare chronic gastric reflex. I think that's what it's called. That's what it's called? I think so. Where you can't sleep at night because you're just burp all the time, right? I don't know what it is, but it's not fun. It's kind of painful, actually. Gastric reflux. Done in the name of Jesus. We just declare whole bodies, Lord, right now, Lord. Whole minds, Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We cancel the attack of anxiety. And we open up the windows of heaven and say that God's love would attack us right now. Panic attacks being canceled right now. And that you would attack us with your love, Jesus, tonight. Jesus, we praise you, Lord. We say that you are awesome and you are mighty. And we love you. We thank you for the healings. We thank you for the miracles. We thank you for the signs. We thank you, Lord, for who you are. And that moving forward from today, Lord, we would consider you in all of your ways. That we would live in your presence, live in your word, so that we would not deviate, so that every single step we take, we can see it because it's in the word of God. Your word of God will be a lamp to our feet, a light to our path, God. Let that be real and true for our lives, God. That we would have a confidence, a godly boldness in who you are and where we are going because we're in your presence and in your word constantly. Help us to have a reverence and a renewed hunger and thirst for your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.